Tao Te Ching by Lao Tzu. Part 1, Chapter 1. The Tao that can be trodden is not the enduring and unchanging Tao. The name that can be named is not the enduring and unchanging name. Conceived of as having no name, it is the originator of heaven and earth. Conceived of as having a name, it is the mother of all things. Always without desire we must be found. If its deep mystery we would sound. But if desire always within us be, its outer fringe is all that we shall see. Under these two aspects, it is really the same, but as development takes place, it receives the different names. Together we call them the mystery, where the mystery is the deepest, is the gate of all that is subtle and wonderful. Chapter 7. Heaven is long enduring, and earth continues long. The reason why heaven and earth are able to endure and continue thus long is because they do not live of or for themselves. This is how they are able to continue and endure. Therefore, the sage puts his own person last, and yet it is found in the foremost place. He treats his person as if it were foreign to him, and yet that person is preserved. Is it not because he has no personal and private ends that therefore such ends are realized? Chapter 22. The partial becomes complete. The crooked, straight. The empty, full. The worn out, new. He whose desires are few gets them. He whose desires are many goes astray. Therefore, the sage holds in his embrace the one thing of humility, and manifests it to all the world. He is free from self-display, and therefore he shines. From self-assertion, and therefore he is distinguished. From self-boasting, and therefore his merit is acknowledged. From self-complacency, and therefore he acquires superiority. It is because he is thus free from striving that therefore no one in the world is able to strive with him. That saying of the ancients, that the partial becomes complete, was not vainly spoken. All real completion is comprehended under it. Chapter 37. The Tao in its regular course does nothing for the sake of doing it, and so therefore is nothing which it does not do. If princes and kings were able to maintain it, all things would of themselves be transformed by them. If this transformation became to me an object of desire, I would express the desire by the nameless simplicity. Simplicity without a name is free from all external aim. With no desire, at rest and still, all things go right as of their will. Chapter 44. Or fame or life, which do you hold more dear? Or life or wealth, to which would you adhere? Keep life and lose those other things. Keep them and lose your life, which brings sorrow and pain more near? Thus we may see, who cleaves to fame rejects what is more great. Who loves large stores gives up the richer state. Who is content needs fear no shame. Who knows to stop incurs no blame. From danger free long live shall he. Chapter 46. When the Tao prevails in the world, they send back their swift horses to draw the dung carts. When the Tao is disregarded in the world, the war horses breed in the borderlands. There is no guilt greater than to sanction ambition, no calamity greater than to be discontented with one's lot, no fault greater than the wish to be getting. Therefore, the sufficiency of contentment is an enduring and unchanging sufficiency. Chapter 77. May not the way, or Tao of heaven, be compared to the method of bending a bow? The part of the bow which was high is brought low, and what was low is raised up. So heaven diminishes where there is superabundance, and supplements where there is deficiency. It is the way of heaven to diminish superabundance and to supplement deficiency. It is not so with the way of man. He takes away from those who have not enough to add to his own superabundance. Who can take his own superabundance and therewith serve all under heaven? Only he who is in possession of the Tao. Therefore, the ruling sage acts without claiming the results as his. He achieves his merit and does not rest arrogantly in it. He does not wish to display his superiority.